For you or a loved one diagnosed with ADHD, you might be entitled to compensation.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah. We're obviously not doctors or professionals in this area, but the two of us have lived with ADHD our entire lives.
And in the last few years, more and more research has actually come out about ADHD. And thanks to social media, individual experiences can be found all over the internet. David and I have both done some deep dives, thanks to our hyperfocus, to figure out what's going on in our own heads all the time. And today, we want to share that with you.
Yeah. And in this episode, we're going to cover exactly how we get our dopamine levels up, both the productive and unproductive ways. We're also going to cover a ton of terms associated with ADHD and neurodivergence.
Yes. So if you find yourself wasting way more time on your phone than you know you should, or you tend to be late to important events even when you woke up early, or maybe you know someone like that, this could possibly help explain a lot of things.
Yeah. So be sure to listen to today's full episode because it's packed with so much great information. We actually had to break it into two parts. What I really, really feel is that more knowledge is what actually creates empathy and understanding in the world. And not only just for your own actions, but for the actions of other people as well. Listen today, and we're excited to see you here in a second.
Welcome
to the I Didn't Know What the Fuck I Was Doing podcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa
and David.
This is the podcast with two ADHD entrepreneurs
who've made a lot of mistakes.
Each week, we discuss ways to navigate business, relationships, and health.
We also interview excellent guests who share their own personal IDK WTF stories.
Listen today so you can hear some relatable content
as we normalize uncertainty and obstacles.
Because it's important to admit that no one really knows
what the fuck they're doing.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the IDK WTF I Was Doing podcast. I'm David B.
And I'm Teresa Merrick.
And we're back.
And we don't know what the fuck we're doing, so don't mind us.
Never, 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 ever. And that's okay.
And we're talking about how we don't know what the fuck we're doing around neurodivergence, because this is part two. Part one was jam-packed with good stuff. What are we going to talk about this time, David?
So last time we talked about neurodivergence, how we've coped with it, and just kind of like how the stigma of it has changed in a smaller community, right? Which is expanding into the mainstream. And I thought we could help with that expansion of understanding by defining some of the terms that we're using much more freely, where we talked about like the issues, some of the symptoms that we've had with and that we've developed coping skills for. So let's talk about what exactly those things are called so that there's a vocabulary where we can kind of share with our loved ones. So specifically, I can direct people to be like, well, go check out part two of our episode and I'll tell you on there all the terms instead of having to, you know, talk to them at length in the middle of the Super Bowl party where everyone's like, shut up, David. And I'm like, no, you shut up and stop calling it ADD. Learn your terms. And then
you can just be like, here's the link. Check it out. Don't argue with me till you listen because.
Exactly.
Yay. Yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah. Well, so first, the very first thing to address is that specifically we lack dopamine. Our brains have a hard time creating that dopamine. So David, when you are having a low dopamine day, what do you find yourself doing to get dopamine?
Perfect. Yeah. One of the theories that ADHD is based on is low dopamine arousal theory, meaning that we don't have enough of a baseline of dopamine to function. So our brains are constantly seeking something to get us dopamine so that we're at like normal level. And that looks like being distracted or playing games or doing something weird. So for me personally, what I do is I find myself on, it's recording, but on my phone. So I'll play something that's like just a silly mindless, like I love idle clicker games, something where I'm collecting resources and like something gets accomplished every hour. And then it like gives me the ding because I've
think
built
like
up the village.
Old school Farmville.
Yes, that's like a big one.
I loved Farmville.
So the one game I'm playing is Last Fortress, which I just recently started, but it's kind of like Sim Tower where you build and you click. It's kind of like
Sim Tower. I literally downloaded like an old ass version and made it play on my like brand new laptop like a year ago.
But it's so pointless. It's so mindless. And it's not like I have to think hard, right? But that's the other thing about, I love TikTok. So I'll scroll TikTok because I love like the 15, 30 second, 1 minute little dopamine hits where I swipe and I get another one. I swipe, I get another one.
Yeah.
And I find myself, and so that's an issue, right? So I'll find myself swiping or playing when there's something that I know I need to do, that I want to do, but I'm stuck trying to get enough dopamine to just get out of bed, right? And so that's the negative. That's a harder place to be. So those are my two main things, just mindless games or mindless social media. What about yourself?
Yeah, well, that was like, I was even thinking about today, but I spent like an hour on my phone doing Wordle and Hurdle and word games that I like, and then checking on my not Farmville Cookie Run Kingdom game that I love. So there's all sorts of like dopamine hits from that game. But yeah, it's like even when I know, okay, I need to leave at this time. So if I'm ready by this time, this will make my life easier. I want to go do the things I'm going to do today. But then it's with the idea of just having to get up and brush my teeth and wash my face and put on a little makeup and get dressed. Like, that does not give me any inspiration or dopamine. So that just makes it a little harder, even when I want to do something. But then there's plenty of times where I'm avoiding something because it's not going to give me enough dopamine and or I'm anxious about it. And so then let's do anything but that.
Yeah.
And it may not be
the thing that feels good. And I'll just sit here.
Right. Or I'm supposed to be doing this one thing for work, but instead I'm going to do this other completely useless thing for work. Yeah. But I know how to do it already. I feel comfortable doing it already, which also plays right into the IDK WTF motto. Yeah. Like when I'm comfortable and I know how to do something already, it's also just easier for me to do because I'm confident that I can check the box, which then gives that little hit of dopamine. I completed this task. Or if I could complete five small stupid tasks where I might not even know how to approach and or get through half of one task, I would do the five small stupid tasks. But I think even like music can bust up dopamine, because music, if you put on some sort of music that you love, that you're in the mood for, that can be an easy way to get through doing something. If I have to do the dishes, I'm going to 95% of the time, I'm going to have music on, maybe a podcast or like audiobook, but probably music, because it makes it easier to do the task.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was trying to think of what things would I do before a cell phone. And actually, so working out was my big thing for a very long time. So that was like my go-to. And I would actually work out instead of going to get other stuff done because I was seeking that dopamine hit. So it's like you can use healthy things. Food is another dopamine booster. And that's another big one. We should do an episode maybe on addiction, but where a lot of people with ADHD will become addicted to things. And it's not necessarily they're addicted to, like alcohol is a big one because it does release so much dopamine in the brain. So a lot of people I've been reading in some forums, they cannot drink. They're not addicted to drinking, but once they have one drink, they have to keep drinking. And I'm very similar to that. I will just drink and drink and drink because it just feels so good while I'm consuming, but I can go months without drinking. I don't have to drink. I never really crave it.
Yeah. So it's addictiveness in a different way, because it's like the hits of dopamine you're addicted
to. Yeah.
And so whatever is getting that in the moment, that's, I think, also
more.
I think that's why that's another thing that's not like a negative necessarily, can be depending on how much money you're spending on your hobbies. But a lot of people with ADHD switch from hobby to hobby to hobby to hobby because they, or even you just get excited and you buy all your stuff for your hobby. And then you're like, oh crap, I don't really want to do this anymore. And it's only been like 3 months and okay, new hobby. Right. Yeah. But it's shiny new thing that like dopamine hits. So that's a big thing. All right. We're going to try and go through a few more things and give you guys little brief bits of information on them with maybe a few stories sprinkled in, because that makes it more interesting to listen to. But just know also, as you guys listen to this, if you have questions, if you want to chat more ADHD stuff with David or I, We love to talk about it. We're happy to talk about it. We're happy to help you find information if you're looking for it. So stick with us.
This is a podcast for anyone looking to improve their personal, professional, or family life.
We craft these episodes so you can learn from or relate to our experiences and opinions.
And we'd love to hear more about you. So if you're interested in connecting with us further,
as well as other like-minded individuals,
we recommend checking out our creatively named Facebook group, Colorado Entrepreneurs.
You don't have to be from Colorado or be an entrepreneur to join, but it doesn't hurt.
Just go to facebook.com/groups/ColoradoBiz, that's B-I-Z, and send us a join request.
Or check the link in the description and show notes below.
Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Yeah. So what else? What's next?
Executive functioning.
Executive function or executive dysfunction. So tell us about that one.
So executive functioning is basically, it's a set of mental skills that include like our memory, being able to flexibly think about things, self-control. Like these are like basically skills that people use in their everyday life. It's funny, I was laughing because I read through the 8 key executive functions are impulse control, emotional control, flexible thinking, working memory, self-monitoring, planning and prioritizing, task initiation, and organization. I literally busted up laughing because I'm like, I have trouble with all of that.
Everyone.
All of those things absolutely are an issue in my life. And if all the things that I have in place to keep me on task, to keep me like my self-monitoring, I'm better at that. And I didn't talk about this when we talked about coping skills, but like my anxiety is actually a coping skill for my ADHD. Because it keeps me from doing certain things, or it keeps me doing certain things because I'm anxious about it and I want to be like socially accepted.
Yeah.
So there's a factor in there, but man, I was looking and for these, David, I don't know about you, but for me, emotional control is a huge like issue for me. Like I have a lot of trouble controlling my emotional levels once they start getting out of, we all have emotions.
Yeah.
Right. We need to work through them. We need to let ourselves feel them. But like then maybe society says, oh, you're a woman. Don't be so angry. So I'm like, okay, don't be angry. But then literally all I'm doing is making my anger worse and it's eking out all over the place.
That spiral, that cycle, because you're in executive dysfunction where that regulator isn't working, right?
Right.
I actually have the opposite with my emotions, which I think is what's fun with the two of us on here, is that I'm so even kilter all the time. Like it's hard for me to be like, oh, I'm so excited and oh, or like angry. I get angry for anything. But that's still a dysregulation because it's not I don't have that normal response. So I think it's interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And like, honestly, executive functioning and dysfunctioning, again, I mentioned this in the last and like part one, but this is something you may have trouble with emotional control and not have ADHD. Exactly. You may have trouble with being organized and not have ADHD, but it's literally, like I said, when I read through that list, I'm like, I have issues in every single one of those areas that significantly impact my life if I don't have all sorts of things in place.
Exactly.
But I mean, everybody has issues with executive functioning sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you said it perfectly, where someone with ADHD tends to have all of these, if not most of these, which makes it so much harder than say, oh, I'm just kind of a forgetful person, but everything else is in balance.
Right.
It's so much exponentially harder to just get through life in a neurotypical world. I think the executive dysfunction and that covers a wide range of a lot of those things. And I think understanding just that one, whether you want to care for your neurodivergent buddy, just trying to understand that would be huge. What are some other ways, things that manifest themselves?
We've talked a lot about like object permanence, so we don't have to get into much detail on that, but literally out of sight, out of mind. Something is not right in front of me. That's why a lot of times, like for me, having my big, bright water bottle sitting next to me all the time helps me remember to drink water. If it's not in the room, I won't drink water all day. So that's pretty straightforward, but a lot of ADHD deal with that.
Yeah. the brain literally doesn't store that information in your mind. So yeah. Once you set the object down, the brain just kind of glosses over the fact that any of that happened.
Right.
And we go on with other stuff, and that memory is never stored. It's crazy.
Right.
Like, when you really think about it, it's totally crazy.
Anyone else would be like, well, duh, you need to drink water. And I have very actively worked on myself. Like right now, my mouth is a little dry, so I need to take a sip of water. But if my water wasn't right next to me, I've noticed my mouth is dry, but I'd be like, whatever, I'll go get in a few minutes. In a few minutes, because of my time blindness, oh, I'll do it in a few minutes. Nope, few minutes could be a few days, could be a few hours.
Not only does that just affect like our keys, drinking that water, it doesn't affect just like keys or the glass that we're going to fill up because we're thirsty. So we go downstairs, but we forget to bring a glass with us. So now we have 30 glasses in our room.
That's a real thing.
But it actually happens with people in our life. So we can forget someone we care about, right? One person on TikTok was talking about his daughter went off to college and he just forgets to call her. And it's she's in college at the same state. But number one, the object permanence of she's not right there all the time. So I'm not immediately thinking about her. And the time blindness, which means a week has gone by and I haven't thought about this person, and not in a bad way, not in a negative way. It's not like you love him any less.
Yeah, not like just, his daughter no longer exists in the world. If someone brings up his daughter, of course, he knows right away who his daughter is and how important she is and those things. It's just, I didn't realize that I haven't talked to you for 2 months.
Yeah, because that time just, it just slips away in this way that I can't describe, where it'll be just 2 weeks later and it's, I have no idea how 2 weeks has passed. Mm-hmm. And we haven't done this thing.
Yeah, didn't you just have that test or didn't you just have that thing? And then the daughter's, that was like a month ago, Dad. I don't know what you're talking about.
Or for a friend, wasn't your child just born? And they're like five now. It's like,
right, out of sight, out of, I mean, even as simple as, I think I brought this up in one of our other episodes, but where it's like, my kids are at school. I have alarms to remind myself to pick them up because they're just, I'm not thinking about them. Of course I need to go get them at the end of school, but isn't the end of school in 3 more hours? No, that was 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not, you're not important, right? It's not like they're not important. It's not like we don't care. We don't not love them. It's just,
no, it's just literally our brain like does this different thing.
It doesn't pull the information. And then the time goes by so much differently.
Yeah, like 5 minutes, like people, and I'm sure everybody has been in a situation where 5 minutes can feel like 2 hours, or it can feel like you blinked and you're like, oh, I had 5 minutes and 5 minutes is gone. And so everybody probably has had that experience, except for us. It's just, it's like that on a bigger scale all the time.
Exactly. Exactly right. So we can say, okay, you forget about people, but what about these things that you're focused on that you talk about all the time incessantly? What is that?
Hyper focus, hyper fixation. Like that's what we do. That's why maybe someone with ADHD who's going to tell you about their video game can talk about it for 6 hours and give you every detail. Or maybe they love animal facts and they can give you every animal fact or whatever it is that interests you. They're like, I'm a musician, and they can talk about guitars for 6 hours and give you the life history of a guitar. And you're like, you hate history. They know the history of the guitar. You hate this. They know about it when it comes to their thing.
A specific topic, right?
Yeah. The whatever like floats your boat, basically, whatever you're really excited and interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that then becomes another dysregulation because it's, we're so focused on one thing that nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. And it's not always bad, right? It often leads to a lot of productivity.
Totally. Well, and I do want to just say, because hyperfocus can be like that on a certain subject matter. Like maybe you love animals your whole life and then you grow up to be a marine biologist and you get to just, like, that's an extension of your life forever, zookeeper or something, right? But hyperfocus can also be very short-lived. And I got to get this thing done for my podcast, so I'm going to sit here and work on it. And if you have that right mentality and it's like the stars align, which really people are like, how do you not just focus when you want to? Some of us have better control over that than others. Like ADHD people, I've had some people that are like, yeah, I can kind of throw myself into it. So we definitely run the spectrum on that. However, usually afterwards, like I actually a few weeks ago did this with podcast stuff. It was like a Sunday. And the next day, David and I had a work day and I just was not like ready to focus because I spent 8 hours the day before sitting on my couch, planning to watch TV, got my laptop and got so much stuff done that day. It was great. And then it was hard because then when I had focus time scheduled to focus, I was struggling too.
Yeah. It can also look like in relationships as well. If you're focusing on a partner's like one issue in a relationship where you don't feel valued or loved by your partner, you can just focus or fixate on that one thing. So focus is a short term, like I'm hyper-focused on this one topic now. Hyper-fixation is more long-term, where it's like you're just constantly thinking about it while you're doing everything else. And so when you're hyper-fixated on something negative, or it could be about a job, like you hate this one part of your job, which drowns out everything else. So you think you have the worst job ever, where it's actually not bad at all, right?
Right. Or even if you actually love most of the other parts of your job, this one part, it gets so hard to get out of that. It's like, okay, no, I got to focus on the good stuff. What is the good? What are the positive? What am I happy about this to try and help balance out this like focus you have about this one thing, this fixation?
Yeah. So it can go both ways, right? We can focus on good things or bad things, and it can really help us or really, really hurt us.
Yes. Okay.
What else? We
definitely need to spend just a couple minutes on RSD, aka rejection sensitive dysphoria. Like this is, I don't know if I've ever met someone with ADHD who doesn't deal with this like pretty significantly. We're very sensitive. And it's like you've heard about like oversensitive, hypersensitive people, super, you know, feeling people, right? But it's no, because it's either rejection or criticism or perceived rejection or criticism.
Yeah.
And that's the worst part, is because everybody gets rejected. Everybody gets criticized. It's really hard for us to deal with that. Our feelings get really, really tangled up and hurt in that, which it's interesting because that also goes back to the executive functioning of regulating emotions. So this is like a huge piece of that, but then the perceived part. So even if someone's not trying to be critical, we might perceive that they're being critical, or we perceive that they haven't responded back to our text message in a couple days. So we feel this.
They clearly hate us.
Rejection, right? They don't want to be my friend anymore. They don't love me. What did I do to make them mad? Like it becomes this crazy. And then it becomes like, it can be really.
That fixation.
Yes, exactly. So it's like a lot of these kind of play into each other. But rejection sensitive dysphoria it's a big deal. I don't know. How does it affect you, David?
I call it dysmorphia because it's like body dysmorphia where you feel like you just totally don't see it correctly.
Right.
But I guess it is dysphoria. But yeah, so for me, like I learned that term maybe like a year ago. But once I learned it, everything became so clear to me because I can't even relate to the typical guys where they like just rag on each other. Where it's like, where that's like the bro communication, where they're like, what's up, stupid? What's up, dummy? Blah, blah, blah. That has always been so hurtful to me, even when it was a form of bonding, that I so completely hated that whole culture of like male communication, right? And so I tend to communicate in a much more feminine way. And you can see that in all like my marketing and my everything. It's much more light. And yeah, and so it's caused me all through high school. That's why I was so antisocial in high school, is because I felt like so much rejection all of the time from everywhere. That was so significant to me, even though it wasn't the case whatsoever. And I think half of the time it was guys just trying to be my friend, which I can't even begin to unpack until now, you know?
Right. Totally. Like if Dan and I get into an argument about something, if we're having an argument, then I don't quite hear him, or I hear something he says, but I receive it a different way, which is like a normal thing for anybody, neurotypical or neurodivergent. But then my rejection sensitive dysphoria goes, you hate me. Don't say things like that. Even when he maybe didn't say something that I'm perceiving, it then is like much harder for me. And I take it much harder and more personally and more you know, it affects my ability to debate something. Instead of a debate, it becomes an argument or a fight, because when emotions are so heightened that you can no longer talk anymore, which does all sorts of other fun things in your brain. So it has those things that happen, but it's like it starts off in this space of this extra sensitivity.
Yeah. And I think just having that term, knowing that that term exists, has made me really be able to analyze, okay, is this really rejection or is this normal communication?
Yeah. Hey, David, hold that thought for 1 second. So let's just take a really quick break. We have a little more other things to talk about in like after the little break. And then
cool. Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening. This has been part one of our two-part series on this topic.
The second episode will be out next week, if it's not out already.
If you enjoyed today's conversation, please consider liking, subscribing, and or reviewing us on wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Also, if there's someone you know who clearly doesn't know what the fuck they're doing and would benefit from this topic, please hit that share button and send them this episode.
Let's normalize the feeling of uncertainty,
asking for help, and admitting that we don't know
what the fuck we're doing either.